Did I get your attention? So why did I show the video? The rugby players look kind of cruel at first. You know, they're kind of tackling all kinds of unsuspecting people, right? And it's not until later that you realize that they're actually saving people, weren't they? They were saving them from tragedy. And I'm afraid that I may offend some of you today. And I may tackle you a bit roughly this morning. But pay attention. Because maybe what I'm going to say this morning might save you. Some of the things I may say over the next few minutes may offend you. They may make you feel uncomfortable. And there's a reason I'm tackling these things. Yesterday, I counted. Yesterday, I did, I believe, my 65th funeral. At yesterday's funeral, I shared the story of something that Jesus did about a week or so before his death. And I don't know that I've really thought about it, this story, in this way. Because whenever we're teaching through stories, we never think about what's ahead. We're just always thinking about where we are in the scripture. But thinking about it, the story, it's about Jesus and this friend named Lazarus, who lived in Bethany with his two sisters, Mary and Martha. And Jesus loved this family. And I'm going to give you my funeral message from yesterday. Jesus got word that this friend, Lazarus, was very, very sick. And Jesus waited a couple of days, and then he headed to Bethany. And it says when Jesus arrived at Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had already been in his grave for 4 days. Bethany was only a few miles down the road from Jerusalem, and many of the people had come to console Martha and Mary in their loss. When Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him. But Mary stayed in the house. Mary said to Jesus, "Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus told her, "Your brother will rise again." Yes, Martha said, "He will rise when everyone else rises at the last day." Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying." Now, you may be asking yourselves, when's the pastor going to tackle me? When's he going to offend me? Here's the offensive part. Unless Jesus returns soon, every single person in this room will die. You will die. Yesterday, as we were celebrating the life of Beatrice Samuel, our beloved Bea, we've prayed for her for a long time, and many of you know and love her husband, Michael, comes to First Service. You know, I was sharing with everybody in the room, you know, that frankly, you know, pointing up, they had an open casket. Those are always just so lovely. But it's good. Because it's right in your face. She's dead. She's dead. Death has some amazing statistics. Death is really good at what it does. Every person, one out of every one people, will die. Now, the younger you are, the less you tend to think about it. When you get to be an old fart like me, then you start seeing more people pass away. First, it's your parents' generation. Both of my parents have gone. And then as you get a little bit older, more and more of your own generation begins to pass, and you become aware of it. But I got to tell you, I remember in high school, I remember a gal named Linda who took her own life. She was like a year or two younger than me. And she was part of my group of friends. And one day we found out why she hadn't been coming to school, because she committed suicide. She was gone. Now, she took her own life. But there are people that die for all kinds of reasons. Everyone dies. And the reason I'm willing to risk offending you by reminding you of this is not because I'm trying to keep you from dying, but my hope is to help you. To help keep you from there's that cement truck that's going to hit you when you cross the street if you're not careful. There's a place in the town of Bethany in Israel, considered this to this day to be the tomb of Lazarus. Whether it is or not, we don't know. A photojournalist was thinking about making a video of the tomb when this happened. He's across the street from it. He didn't plan this. That little doorway with a orange sign is the tomb of Lazarus, and passing in front, someone who just died the day before. What a juxtaposition, what a putting together of two things. Reminding of Lazarus, the story of Lazarus. And here, right as the guy's about to film, this dead body gets taken right by him. The real issue this morning is this. What will your life be like after death? Can you know what will happen? Jesus not only made this bold statement about being the resurrection and the life, but he went ahead and raised Lazarus from the dead. And the guy had been in the tomb for 4 days. He asked Mary and Martha, take me to the place, take me to the tomb. And he told everybody, roll the stone away. And they said, no, Lord, because by this time he stinketh. He stinketh. I mean, his body's decaying. And Jesus said, no, roll the stone back. And then he spoke with a loud voice. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. And the dead man came hopping out of the tomb in his grave clothes. And if that wasn't enough to tell you that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, well, it's about a week later, a week and a couple of days, that Jesus himself has died on the cross, put in a tomb, and 3 days later, the tomb is empty because he rose from the dead. Maybe you're wondering if Jesus really did rise from the dead. Well, you hang around today at 9:00. I'm going to do a message entitled Proof of Life. I'm going to give you proof of life. I'm going to show you just how real the resurrection is. Maybe you're wondering why it's such a big deal that Jesus rose from the dead. The resurrection gives us hope that what happens after this life isn't all that there is, that there is something after this life. Jesus actually rose from the dead, and he promised that if we will trust him, we will have eternal life on the other side. You'll miss the cement truck. The resurrection gives us also hope that we can endure the difficulties in this life. Because to be honest, we all face difficulties. Paul writes, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. The resurrection power isn't just for after you die, it's for now. It's for facing the difficulties of life. In October of 1871, Horatio Spafford, a wealthy Chicago businessman, lost all of his worldly possessions in the famous Chicago fire. 2 years later, Spafford is placing his wife Anna and their four children on the ship, the Via du Havre, sailing from New York to France. He's forced to stay in the United States himself for a few more weeks to settle some business matters before he could journey to visit to meet his family in France. On the evening of November 21st, the Via du Havre was making its way peacefully towards France when in the middle of the night it was suddenly rammed by another ship, the Lochearn. Spafford's wife survived, but all the children were lost at sea. Spafford heard about the shipwreck but didn't know what had happened to his family. A cable arrived from Wales stating later that the four daughters were lost at sea, but his wife was still alive. He was crushed with what was happening. All night he walked the floor in anguish. Toward the morning, he turned to his friend Major Whittle and said, "I am glad to trust the Lord when it will cost me something, to trust him in the difficult times, because that's where the resurrection comes in." On the way across the Atlantic to join his wife, the ship that he was on, as it was passing the area, the place where the Ville du Havre was shipwrecked, the captain announced to let everybody know that this was the spot. And this is what he wrote on that day. He wrote, Spafford wrote this, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and hath shed his own blood for my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh, my soul. And, Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul." How in the world can anybody say, "It is well with my soul," when you've just lost your four children? It's because of the resurrection. It's because of the hope that we have in Jesus. He knows what he's doing, and he's going to take you through to the end. I hope you miss the cement truck, friend. I hope that you've placed your trust in Jesus, because he loves you. And he wants you to survive through the other side. Amen? We got one more song to sing. And let's stand and pray while the band's coming up. Lord, we're so thankful for the hope of the resurrection, that this isn't all there is. And Lord, sometimes at Easter time, we're just thinking about the future, the far distant future, what seems some time, long time from now, when we will be in heaven. But Lord, it's now that counts. And God, you want to give us strength. You want to give us power. And Lord, I know that there are some here going through difficult times. And Lord, because you live, we live. Because you had the power to rise from the dead, Lord, you can give us strength to live this life and to endure, and not to endure with our faces on the ground, but Lord, with our heads held up high, because you are our risen God. You are our King. You are risen. You are risen indeed. And Lord, I pray for any of our friends here who maybe have not yet opened their life to you. Friend, let this be the day. Let this be the day, Easter 2017, that you say to Jesus, "I need you. I open my life to you. I admit I'm a sinner and I need your forgiveness. Would you forgive me? Would you make me your child? And thank you for loving me. Thank you for being willing to tackle me so that I can avoid the cement truck. Because of your great love." Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.